that the Lord bless each and every one, and we do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service this morning. In the name of the Lord, we're going to sing one more, just a little more before we turn to the Word of God and do the dedication. When His wounded hand touched mine, Jesus set me free for all eternity. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing this morning. To the Lord, praise God.
When His wounded hand touched mine, when His wounded hand touched mine, Jesus set me free for all eternity.
Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before You in and through the name of Jesus Christ. We thank You for this another opportunity that we can come from Your footstool into Your very throne room and into Your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, we're here this morning to praise You and thank You. We thank You for this little gift, little George, Lord, that You've given. We bless Your name. And Lord, we're here to celebrate and magnify the greatest gift that was ever given to this world, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Because You so loved the world, You gave Your only begotten, special, unique Son to save every one of us from our sins. We welcome You this morning into this service, Lord. We ask for a feeling and a moving of the power and presence and influence of the Holy Spirit in this house. I take authority over every devil, every foul spirit, every demonic force in the name of Jesus Christ. I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now in Jesus' name. And I thank You that You do. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. And the Lord bless each and every one this morning. And we do give you a warm welcome into our service this morning. And just a couple of announcements, because I'll forget about them. So I'd rather have them now. You know, I was thinking this morning, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. I remember years ago, it's amazing, Sister Lydia's here this morning, and Colin with a wee baby to dedicate. I remember years ago, when Ian and Jenny was going out, and Ian got the land of his father-in-law Ian's Ford Sierra. She was some car for Ian. And there was an agent went past him on the back wheel of a motorbike out the Bellenhinch Road, and Jenny says to Ian, "Who was that agent?" "Well, that agent was me." And there's no way I ever thought I'd be up here this morning dedicating Lydia's a baby. Lydia wasn't even born then, and it's just amazing how the Lord has worked And you know, I want to say that what the Lord told me at the very start has come to pass. And also what James McConnell prophesied over me in 1990 has definitely come to pass. And it wasn't me that said it, he said it. I never said it. And if it had been myself, it never would have happened. But we're here this morning by the Lord's grace. Praise God. We'll be back this evening at 6 o'clock. Our brother Samuel will be bringing the Word of God. And then we're going to have a wee cup of tea after the service. And don't worry, there's plenty of room in here. We can spread out. And it's a big hall. And everyone's welcome to come this evening. Our service starts at 6. And we usually are not long in the evening. Maybe an hour at the most. And then we're going to have a wee cup of tea. Our brother, Larry, I know the godson, but I never forget it, brother. But Brother Laurie brought lots of biscuits and things for the different fellowships, so we thought we'll have a wee fellowship tonight, and everyone's welcome. Then Thursday night will be our normal prayer and Bible study. Our brother John's going to be bringing the Word of God Thursday night. Then next Sunday morning, there's a lot of people's message wanting a service. So as a pastor, I'm always happy to do a service. That's what I'm here for. And whether to go and pray for somebody or service, that's what I'm here for. So we're going to have a service. It's Boxing Day. I thought maybe nobody would want a service, but lots of people want a service. So we're going to have a service at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. So it's going to be 10 o'clock. That's to give time for people to go get back home to family and everything. And I know it mightn't suit everybody, but those that's able to come, we appreciate. If you can come, there'll just be one service next Sunday morning. And then the 30th would be our normal Thursday night, but we're going to have a Friday night. It'll be the new year coming in, but we'll do it normal time. And that, if the hall's free, yes, if the hall's free, the Friday night. And what we're going to have is, if somebody's a wee testimony or wants to read a scripture or say something on that Friday night, that's what we want. And then we'll be back to normal on the 2nd of January. Services will proceed then back to normal times. Praise God. Now this morning, this is a special service in that we're going to have a dedication. And I want to read just a dedication scripture this morning. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 9. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou sittest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." I think it's true to say that only believers will have dedications. Because a believer in Christ dedicates their child back to the Lord. They give him back to the Lord from whom he came. And we know that it's God that gives life, nobody else. And every true believer dedicates a child. We don't believe in infant baptism. It's not actually scriptural. It's taken from circumcision. It's where a lot of churches take infant baptism from. And it's a misrepresentation of scripture to use those scriptures for dedication. It's circumcision and the sprinkle water on a baby. I'm just going to be real blunt about it. It's a doctrine of the Church of Rome. And that's the truth of it. And I'm not one for the Pope. I believe he's Antichrist. I have lots of Catholic friends and neighbors. I appreciate them. I pray for them. But the Pope of Rome is not my head. Jesus Christ is my head. And I don't want anything to do with him or his doctrines. The Word of God's our principle. So we do dedication because the children were brought to the Lord. And he set them on his knee and he blessed them. And Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." Also, for the parents of children, It's up to them parents to be the pastor in their own home, to teach them children the way of the Lord, to read them the Bible, to tell them about the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to the parents to do that. It's good to come to church and we hear it in church, but as parents, we should be telling our children about the Lord. Now, you know, the 25th of December is nothing to do with the birth of Christ. The 24th is the birth of the moon god, and the 25th is the birth of the sun god. It's a pagan representation. It's come into Christianity. It crept in like a lot of other things did. It was never a Christian date. And Santa Claus started, he was Saint Nicholas. And he went about giving gifts out to people, and then he became Santa Claus. But I'm not here to worry too much about that, because as Christians, we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And whether it's not the right date or not, it's not going to bother me. I don't think it's going to bother any of you. But we're going to take an opportunity this time of year to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Colin and Sister Lydia, Brother Colin and Sister Lydia, to come in a moment. But George, you know, first thing you think of George, it's Saint George. And there was a boxer in England, he won a world title. He was called George, and when he came into the ring to box, he had on a short Saint George. And maybe you don't know him, but his name's George Groves. Now, I like the boxing, Ian would know that. I'm a bit of a boxing fan. And George Groves, he won a world title, and he had Saint George in his shorts, and you know there was kings, many kings in England called George. And George means a landholder, and one who works the earth. Then James is taken from the word Jacob as a planter or a substitute, and comes from the original Hebrew word Jacob. Now Jacob was God's servant. Jacob was a wonderful man of God. Because of the connection to Jacob, it's a real Bible name. And James in the Bible, there was two apostles called James. Now, I'm a firm believer that there's something in a name. You know, a great man of God said that some names we should never call children. And I'm not going to go into them names this morning. But he said there's some names we should never call children or people. But James, George, is wonderful names. I know his last name's Cunningham. And I want Brother Colin and Sister Lydia to bring George, and I want to say it's a privilege for me to dedicate George, and I had the privilege to dedicate Lydia. And there's people who was in that meeting, in this meeting, and that's a few years ago. Praise God. Look at that now. Now, when I say we, James, it's not we. It's big James, really.
George.
George. George, amen. Praise the Lord. I can take a home of Well, that's for our heads, and we take care of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this little boy, George James Cunningham. Father, we lift him up before you, and we pray your blessing upon his life. We ask the hand of the Lord to be mighty upon him from a youth up. And Lord, that you'll keep him and save him young, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, parents, Lydia and Colin, has brought them to you, to give them to you as your gift. And Father, we thank you for them. We bless Lydia and Colin and the whole family. And we bless little George in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm so content. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. Amen. Now this morning I want to talk about a baby, and I won't be very long this morning. I've so many scriptures and notes this morning, and I've tried to break it down a bit. And maybe next Sunday morning I'll continue with the rest of this. But I want to read Matthew 1 verse 23. And this morning I want to talk about God with us. Because the baby that I want to talk about was more than a man. He was someone very unique. He was someone very special. And the Bible says it was God with us. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In this text this morning, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is spoken here. It said they shall call his name Emmanuel. No, children are often called after friends or relations or after a mother or a father, but many times there's no special role in the names that's given to children, really. But you know, in the ancient time, in the olden times, that wasn't the way of it. In the olden times, a name always meant something very special. And it was very special what you called a son or a daughter. The name meant something. And there were scriptural names. And we've saw that George here this morning has a scriptural name. And James also has a scriptural name from Jacob. And here this morning we're going to talk about a scriptural name. A very special name. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. As a general rule, you know, a name contains teaching. And especially in the case of the name ascribed to Jesus, that name means many different things. In Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I'm glad he did. I would never have to look nobody out and point at them and say, boy, he's a big sinner, because I was as big a sinner as there was. And I couldn't judge nobody to say he's a big sinner. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus came to save sinners. Even further than that, John the Baptist, when he saw him coming, he looked down and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is God's appointed taker away of sin. Now, every one of us is born in sin. Every one of us is shaped in iniquity. But Jesus Christ came as God's gift to save us. But there has to come an acceptance of the Lord Jesus in our lives. We do not hear any of the apostles calling Jesus Emmanuel, but that's what his name means. But they don't say Emmanuel, but they use the words that mean the same. Jesus means Emmanuel, because Jesus clearly shows God with us. And the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a glorious fact of the highest importance. Not since Christ was born into the world, God with us. If we divide this text this morning from Matthew 1 verse 23 in two ways. First of all, God. Then God with us. The deity of our Lord Jesus Christ is a fundamental Christian doctrine. The deity. Because Jesus Christ is not like any other man. He was virgin born. He's unique. He's special. The only begotten Son of God means special, unique one. Here's what C.H. Spurgeon says, the Prince of Preachers. But let it remain as a matter of faith that Jesus Christ, even he who lay in Bethlehem's manger and was carried in a woman's arms and lived a suffering life and died on a malefactor's cross, was nevertheless God over all, blessed forever, upholding all things by the word of his power. Because the Bible says of the Lord Jesus, all things are made by him and all things are made for him. So you were made for the Lord. Young woman, young man, you were made for the Lord. You were made for a reason and you were made for a purpose. That was to glorify the Lord. His words are more than just words spoken by an angel. Hebrews 2 verse 2 to 3 tells us, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So the Lord has sent us salvation. Salvation is not in a church. It's certainly not in the Pope of Rome, though he claims it is. For the Pope of Rome says, don't come to Jesus, come to me. If you went to the Pope, you might as well go to the hedge. You can go to any man you want to go to, he'll never save you. Because this has been given to one man only. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one and only way God has provided. He's God's provided way. And that way has been provided for Catholic, Protestant, red, yellow, black and white. All is precious in the Lord's sight. He'll save whosoever will come. He was not just some good person elevated into the Godhead, as some people would claim. But he was God, the very God, manifested in flesh to destroy the works of the devil. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, it tells us, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Excuse me, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He was as surely God as God can be. Not only would the great strength of our hope be gone, but as this text says, he was God veiled in human flesh. Jesus was more than a man. You see, you have to understand that this morning, for no man can save you. Do you know why? Every man's born a sinner. Every man's bloodstream's corrupted. The Bible says every one of us is born in sin. Every one of us is shaped in iniquity. We come into this world speaking lies. We never needed to have learned them. But the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin. And he knew no sin, and he had no sin. But he took our place. He took our place on the center cross of Calvary to save us. To save us in this life and to save us to the life that comes. The Bible says, as many as receive him, to them God gives power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So by simply believing on the name of Jesus, you're going to have eternal life. That's a gift this morning that no man or woman should miss up. It's a free gift to everyone. Let me just read you this little statement. But inside of there dwelt none other but Almighty God in Christ. The great mighty one, he could recreate. He could create new things. He could speak. And what he asked for would be given at that second. But he humbled himself and kept low. He wanted to give an example. He wanted to be the right kind of a conqueror. And he was not. And he proved himself to be it. Jesus Christ was so humble, he says, the foxes have holes, the bird of their nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Yet that same one, when a storm came and the disciples thought they'd perish, he stood up in the boat and said, peace be still. And the Bible says there's a great calm. The Lord Jesus can speak into your life where there seems to be a storm. The Lord Jesus can speak into your situation, for there seems to be trouble, and he can bring an immediate calm in the midst of the storm, because he has a power over all creation. For all things are made by him and for him. I want us to see, first of all, this morning, I want us to admire this truth, God with us. God that made all things should assume the nature of one of his own creatures. That's what he done. That the self-existent should be united with the dependent, with the deprived, and almighty linked with feeble and mortal. God took a stoop, you know. God took a great stoop and he came down. For the word of God said he lowered himself, he condescended. It said he lowered himself a little lower than the angels. And he took upon him the form of a man. And he came right down to this sin-cursed earth because he loves you. The Lord loves you. He loves you this morning. We can clearly see before us that Jehovah, he never took the place of some great noble or spiritual being, such as a seraph or a cherub, but God became one with man in the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 15:19, to wit that God was in Christ. Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of man. That's the Lord. I'm glad he came. Amen. See, there's a lot of people think they're good. I worked with a woman and she was that good, she didn't need saved. I told her my testimony, how the Lord saved me, and the life I'd lived and so forth. And she said, that's great, but I never needed saved. I never done the things you done. And I said, no, I appreciate that you never done the things I done, but you're still a sinner. Oh, she says, I'm no sinner. I said, well, the Bible says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Well, that's when I was working in a bakery. And she was melting hot chocolate, and you know where the hot chocolate went? Stayed over the top of my head. She poured it right over me. She was so offended that I called her a sinner that she tipped the hot chocolate right down over my head. And I'd heard in them days. There's some mess, I can tell you. But she never got saved. She didn't need saved. She was too good to be saved. But I want to tell you that all need to be saved. Christ wants all saved, because the Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish. God with us. You know, we can't comprehend how much of a stoop it was for God to dwell in a human flesh. God with us. Not only did God come to us through a son, but remember, a fallen humanity, we all were rebellious people away from God. All mankind was lost in sin and rebellion. We were at a distance. We see signs up, keep your distance. We were at a distance. We were at a distance from God. And our sin put us at a distance from God. But Jesus Christ came to bridge the gulf. Amen. And bring us back into fellowship with God, so that we would no more be at a distance, but we would be close and one with God through Christ. Romans 8, 3-4 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, the depths of it. Can you see the depths of the love of God? Is all we can say, as all we look on the marvel of this stoop of the divine love of God. I want you to notice also this morning, when we look from a distance on the marvel, what a miracle is before us here. Our Lord was incarnate in a body. That's what happened. Which was truly a human body, yet in some way, in some wondrous way, deity was in that body. Deity. God himself was in that body. Psalms 104, verse 32. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. That's Almighty God. The Old Testament saints said no man can look on God's face and live, but yet he became a man. Hebrews 10:5 tells us, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. God prepared a body. And he came into that body. That body was a little baby in Bethlehem's manger. Little Jehovah in Bethlehem's manger. God's wrapped gift. You think of that wee boy this morning, and you think of all them years ago when Jesus came. The stars foretold his coming. The Magi foretold his coming. The prophets foretold his coming. That there's going to be one come born of a virgin, and he's going to be a savior. And at the age of 33 years of old, he was crucified on a cross at Calvary. And there he bled and there he died to save us from our sins. And that same man that died, God raised him again from the dead on the third day. And he's coming again. He's coming again. Jesus is coming again. And this old world's falling apart tonight. She's in birth pains. Just like a woman in travail and birth pains. This world's in birth pains. But Jesus Christ is coming again. Why? Because he in John 14. I go away to prepare a place for you, but I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want you to see this person of Christ. It's a veil, but God came down, veiled in flesh, to what? To show himself. He had to hide because we couldn't see him. And he hid himself behind that veil. And the veil was who? Jesus. Not me doth the works, Jesus said, but my Father that dwelleth in me. The Father worketh and I worketh hitherto. Here he is as the veiled one, walking in flesh, God Emmanuel, God with us, God in Christ, reconciling the world himself. Here he is, walking around, the Lord himself, God in flesh. Now I'm closing in a moment because I don't want to hold you long this morning. What a mighty miracle. Really divine power was wondrously seen. And the continued existence of the materialism of Christ's body, which else had been consumed by such a wondrous contact with divineness. Want you to admire the power this morning that dwelt in Jesus. God with us. Imagine that wee baby, God with us. Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the person of the Son of God. It is crucial to remember that the existence of the Son of God did not commence with his birth in Bethlehem's manger. He is spoken of as a son before he became a man. He pre-existed. Galatians 4 verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Here's a wonderful scripture. I don't even often hear it quoted. Micah 5 verse 2. But thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. What a scripture to show God with us. God with us. God has condescended. God has come down because he loves you. Maybe there's somebody in this service this morning and you're going through a hard time. Maybe you're going through a terrible time. Maybe nobody knows the half of it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if you call Jesus on the scene, he can change things. Now I'm closing. I'm not going to go on. So don't think I'm going to hold you as long this morning. I'm not going to do that. I don't feel to do that. You know, I love the story that's told of a little brother and a sister, and they went down to see the old mines. And they say when you go down there, you had to have a wee bird in the cage. Because when you got to certain depths, if that bird died, then that was a sign, get out. But a lot of them mines today in different countries, you can go down and view the mines and the lifts that people used to work in, coal mines and so forth. But a great preacher one time took a sermon inspired from a young boy and girl that went down in the mine. Because as they went down in the mine, the man working the controls in the lift switched the lights off so that the people could get a real understanding of the darkness of that mine without the light. And the wee girl held her brother by the hand, and she's so afraid in the darkness, go down in the mine shaft. And the wee fella said, sister, don't worry, for there's a man in here that can turn on the light. There was someone who had the light switch that could turn on the light. And this world was in darkness, but God sent the light of the world into the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Maybe you're sitting here this morning. Maybe you're going through a dark patch. Maybe your life seems to be in darkness. But there's someone here this morning called Jesus. And he's the light of the world. And he can be your light. He can light you up All you have to do is ask him in. And he'll come in today. And he'll come in to stay. I called on the Lord many years ago. Have I failed him? Yes. Have I let him down? Yes. I've done many things I shouldn't have done, but he's never failed me. And he's never left me. And I love him this morning with all my heart. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I love the Lord Jesus more than anything. More than my wife. More than my children. More than anything. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can go before him. I love him more than anything. Do you know why? Because he first loved me. 1989 in High Bank Jail. As a young man, suicidal. One day and at all. I heard the sweetest words and an audible voice spoke to me. 10 nights in a row. Not once, but 10 nights consecutively in a row. I love you and give myself for you. I want to tell you, God softened this big hard man. And he fell on his knees. And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard him. Do you know why? Because Isaiah 1 and verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The Lord loves you this morning. Let's stand our feet this morning. I would ask every head bowed, every eye closed. Come to the close of the service. Our brother's going to come in a moment. If you're in this meeting this morning, in this house, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can know the Lord as your Savior. You can invite him in to your heart. If you would say, Pastor, pray for me this morning, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Will you lift your hand up? And I'm going to pray for you. I won't embarrass nobody, but I'll see your hand and I'll pray for you this morning that the Lord will touch you wherever you are. Will you lift your hand up as a sign to God this morning and I'll pray for you. Maybe you're going through a terrible time. Maybe you're saved, but you're going through a difficult time. Lift your hand up and I'll pray for you this morning as we come to the close of the service. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you have to do. Acknowledge, yes, God, I'm a sinner, but I repent of my sins, and I call on you to save me now. In Jesus' name, I acknowledge that you died and rose again. I invite you, I welcome you into my heart as my Savior right now. And the Lord will come in, and he'll come in to stay. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for God's wrapped gift, God with us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll speak to the hearts and lives of men and women. Bless each and every one, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. And I pray for those that's raised their hand. Lord, you know whatever the need is, that you'll meet that need. In the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Lord, that while the voice of the preacher is silent, that the Holy Spirit will speak on. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Brother Gary.
Amen. Let's try and sing that hymn all was playing this morning. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And after we sing it, we'll maybe try and sing a carol before we go. Paul, I'll let you go first and I'll join in the second time round just to get the tempo and stuff right. Go ahead. On to us a child is born. On to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God.
Thank you.
Well, listen, no, we'll do. We'll sort it out. Will Matthew be here tonight, will he? Well, we'll try to. I think the sisters are going to sing for the. That'll let us off the hook if the sisters are going to sing. Have we got verse 2? Alright, we'll try it again, man. Sing choirs of angels, sing. Jesus has hand starts off. He's everything to me. He's the first of 10,000 to my soul. Let's sing the chorus, He's the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star. Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, at this time of the year, Lord, to remember the reason for the season which we celebrate. Lord, to celebrate the greatest gift that this world has ever seen. Indeed, Lord, your word says he was brought forth wrapped in swaddling clothes. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you came to this world to destroy the works of the devil. And Lord, we also thank you that you come to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord Jesus Christ, help us, Lord, to to remember the reason why we celebrate. Help us, Lord, to remember you, Lord Jesus Christ, and not to be overtaken by commercialism and, Lord, everything else, Lord, that people would, the distractions of this world and the distractions of this time that the devil would try, Lord, to flood men and women's hearts and minds with, Lord, indeed, put them under great stress and great burdens. But, Lord, let us be joyful at this occasion, Lord, and even we remember the angel's message that they brought good tidings of great joy. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll fill each and every one of our hearts with this great joy, and especially, Lord, that you'll reveal yourself to men and women, Lord, that they too would know the Lord's wrapped gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we just bless you now. Bless each head that's bowed here this morning and bless them. Lord, take them to their dwellings in safety in the name of Jesus Christ. May your hand be upon them and may the blood of Jesus Christ cover them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, giving God the glory. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you as you go. As you go, we're going to just sing a chorus or two as you leave. Praise. We're going to sing that little chorus. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Amen. The Lord bless you. I'll see you again tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget about the day.